Lorenzo, thank you. Exciting time in the power and water business. Three key messages for you today. First of which, we feel very good about our competitive position, and it's getting stronger. Second, we got the right strategy and experience to navigate the cycles. And third one is we got a very high return business here, and you're going to see continue to be a long-term growth engine for the company. Now, where I want to start with you is where a lot of you, I kind of left off a year ago in this meeting with the energy analysts, just about a year ago. We talked about our gas terminal portfolio, which is the biggest portfolio we got, and we made some announcements yesterday. So I thought I'd give you a little context for that. What we announced yesterday is what we said we would do last year at this time. Last year, we announced our flex efficiency gas turbine portfolio for the 50 hertz world, Asia, Europe, et cetera. And we said we would announce the 60 hertz portfolio this year. That's what we did yesterday in California with over 100 customers. We did that right in advance of an industry forum. Three things we announced, one of which is our portfolio flex efficiency. This is a 260 megawatt machine, which is H-class and above 61%. Second thing we announced was $1.2 billion in orders. That's 19 units, 6 in Japan, 8 in Saudi Arabia, and 5 of the units are in the U.S. So we are seeing U.S. activity. By the way, the Japan customer got up on stage and says his units, which will run in Japan, will run at 62% gross combined cycle efficiency. Third thing we announced is that we are in the development of a large block machine, which will be north of 300 megawatts. That'll be the largest, most flexible, high-efficient machine in the world. So we feel very good about our portfolio here. It's something we said we would do last time we were together, and we're doing that. So just put a little context, remind you what power and water is. It's a lot different than it was 10 years ago, where, as Jeff said, we were kind of one product, one region. We've grown a lot since gas turbines in the U.S. We're $26 billion this year. We generate a little over $5 billion in operating profit. And now less than 15% of our operating profit comes from the thermal equipment side. It's also more global, 65% outside the U.S., 50% services. But one thing that's been consistent over the course of the last 10 years is 25% of the world's electricity is generated by GE technology today. So our play is expanded offerings to address diverse segments. Environment. A lot of macro themes that we can play off in the space. You know a lot about the more gas cycle. We see a gas cycle spanning the next 25, 30 years. It's investing in Heintzelman's business as well as ours. Renewable shift, it's dependent a little bit on policy in the world, but still it's a long-term shift. And by the way, it's intermittent power, which helps gas. Distributed power, still 1.4 billion people in the world do not have access to power. That's a big theme as we go forward. Globalization, we've talked a lot about. Data-driven services, I'll talk more about, but that's key to getting the next level of entitlement on assets for our customers, and the last of which is water reuse. Standard set of competitors, you've seen these before. I think two things I would stress. In the industry, the two big business areas, thermal and wind, there still is excess capacity in the industry. That has been putting pressure on price in those industries. We've told you that prices have stabilized. We've seen those bottomed in those industries, and we'll continue to play through that. The other thing I tell you about relative to competitive performance, the three businesses we're in, we generate more than 50% higher operating profit rates than our competitors. So we continue to play through the cycle, sustain as well as grow market shares. And then as far as imperatives, you know, we have to play through the wind cycle. I'll talk about it. Product vitality is sales, percent of our sales from products less than 3 years old. That's up 15 points. We'll talk about that. We got a big service installed base to grow around the world. And then the standard things like productivity, adjacencies, distributed power, and water we'll talk about, and then global growth. So shifting environment, outperform the competition. So let's talk about gas. It's probably the biggest theme that's out there, and it is affecting our biggest part of our portfolio in power and water. This picture on the left just shows you gas power in the world. There is 1,100 gigawatts, so about 20% of the world today is gas power. If you exclude China, which is heavily coal, it's 24%, and that will continue to grow. That's a macro trend. So by 2020, it'll be 28% outside of China. And a lot of questions about our shares and positions over the decades. Over the last decade, it's anywhere between 40 and 50% consistently over that time period, and as we go forward, still about that level. So mega themes, I'm not going to go through natural gas pricing in the U.S. You know that well, and accessibility. 2 points, power generation shift. For the first time in history in the U.S. in April, the amount of power on the grid from gas equaled coal, 32% each. Now, coal is still higher from a total year perspective, but by 2017, it's forecasted that gas will overtake coal on the grid in the U.S. So you're seeing a shift of power to gas. The second thing I'll touch on is developing regions. 70% of the growth in the gas space will be in developing regions, so you have to be there. And the third of which is customer needs, size, flexibility, base load. As customers now are buying their gas turbines, they're buying bigger machines. So gigawatts are there. As they buy smaller machines or larger machines, you'll see from GE that will ship more gigawatts every year, but we might ship less units because they're buying bigger machines. Okay? So how do we grow? More gigawatts, service business growth, and upside potential. People always ask me, where are the bluebirds? What could happen in the world? I think the areas we continue to monitor are reserve margins in the U.S., what's going to happen in China, and in places like Africa that still have major power shortages that you see in the paper. Technology investment. This is the foundation of our business. We spend a little over $1.4 billion in 2011. That's about 5% of sales. As you can see, that's been ramping the last 5 years. We now generate 3 times more patents than we did just 5 years ago. So a lot of patented portfolio in our technology, and it's also showing up in product vitality. Close to 49% of our sales are from products that we've launched in the last 3 years. 300 launches, $16 billion of revenue generated in the last 3 years. Just some big ones. We announced last year in March our 1.6 megawatt 100 meter wind turbine. A year later, this year we'll have $2.6 billion of sales. The fastest single new product development ramping ever. Advanced hot gas paths, that's how you upgrade the gas turbines. Fastest ramping new upgrade in our gas turbine portfolio we ever had, and then the Flex Efficiency 50, which we talked about last year. Biggest area of technology investment is the gas portfolio. What do we have? What we have is the broadest spectrum of gas-fired power generation in the industry. Everything from 1 megawatt reciprocating engines to aeroderivatives, all the way up to what we announced yesterday, which were the Flex Efficiency offerings. That 7 series there is 260 megawatts, so that's H-class, which we have orders for today, above 61% combined cycle. We also announced yesterday that we have under development a large block gas turbine, which will be north of 300 megawatts. So largest in the space when it comes out, highest efficiency, but it will also have all of the turndown flexibility that a customer would want. Let me give you a sense. By the way, you can ramp these machines 100 megawatts a minute. Think about all those big wind farms, they go down, you got to ramp up the gas turbine. You can also turn them down. You got a 900 megawatt plant. With our new technology, you go down to 14% of load, and you stay within the emissions parameters. That's twice lower than the levels of our leading competitors. So largest portfolio, spanning everything from efficiency, size, flexibility, and the last one that's critical is fuel diversity. When you go to places like Saudi Arabia, they not only burn gas, they burn light crude. They're going to ship in Saudi Arabia from light crude to heavy crude. That is tough to do. You don't do it right, you're going to mess up your service intervals for your customers. So that's something we do, and we're going to continue to invest there. Broadest portfolio, and just keep in mind, 50% of the land-based gas turbines in the world are GE. So this is a space we're going to continue to stay very strong in. Now, wind cycle. This one's getting a lot of visibility. Let's just start with some grounding here. We, GE, have been in the wind business for 10 years. We generated $40 billion of revenue in this space in the last 10 years, and we've run the most profitable wind business. In 2011, we generated more profit than all the other wind players combined. 2012, we'll still run the most profitable wind business. 2013, we'll still have the most profitable. It will just be smaller. As PTC looks like right now, there's no certainty on it for the U.S. What do we think is going to happen? This year, the team is executing very well. Next year, the U.S. gig size of the market is probably going to go from 12 gigawatts to 3 gigawatts. If there is a PTC, that would be bigger, but we didn't bake that into our plans at this point. Wind strategy is clear. We got a low base cost business model, leveraging suppliers. We've cleaned out our cost structure the last couple of years. We talked about technology leadership. We now have over 20,000 wind turbines in the installed base, so we're going to run the same service play we've run in all of our other businesses. And then lastly, to play in an environment like this, you got to be global. So a lot of our orders now are in places like Canada, Brazil, and the rest of the world. We'll run the most profitable wind business. We have been, we will continue to be, but this headwind is consistent with what we said in the past. It's going to be $0.03 EPS headwind for 2013. Let's talk about growing globally. I talked in the past a lot about China, which is up 50% since 2009 to 2011. We've talked about the Middle East. I figured I'd highlight a couple new spaces. Russia, now up to $600 million in 2011. You saw the joint venture we announced with InterAll. We're localizing, and the big opportunity in Russia is the old district heating units need to be replaced. That's big. Those are our six FAs. Latin America is now up to $2.7 billion. You all know about the oil and gas reserves there. They're going to use a lot of our wind turbines and gas engines. Third of which is Africa. I'll be there in 3 weeks for the entire week. That one is a big thing about population growth, urbanization. Places like Algeria, it's all over the papers on their power shortages today. Places like Angola, where Dan Heintzelman and I can see our service facilities there also. So that's the space. Our position is to capture the pockets of growth and localize each of these areas. We have local facilities, which is important. Service growth. As I said, it's about 50% of our business. We've got a big backlog here, $51 billion. And this is a business area that we see growing 5 or 10% on an ongoing basis going forward. You know, the biggest question I get, biggest part of our service business is gas turbine, what's going on with utilization rates. The capacity factors of the gas turbine is up. Gas prices are lower, particularly in the U.S. However, the capacity factors vary on where you are in the world. Spain, not so great right now, 20% capacity factors. About 15% of our gas fleet is in Western Europe. However, you look at other parts of the world, it's good. And in the U.S., the capacity factors are how much of the percent of the time the customers run the units is up over 20 points in the last year. So they are running the units more. So we see those dynamics. We don't see a big uptick per se in 2013 from that because they still are going through their outage intervals. But give you a sense is capacity factors up 10% drives outage intervals in 6 months. So we will see this over time. It is a favorable trend. How do we continue to get 5 to 10% growth a year? It's things like going after higher levels of customer value. $20 billion of industry waste we see across the utility industry from fuel savings potential as well as capacity utilization. We want to help the customers do that. And then things like, you know from us, we spend $100 million a year on technology upgrades that generates $1 billion a year upgrade business for us. And then customer productivity. And those three facilities, I'll be in the Saudi Arabia one on Monday, Dammam, with Jeff. But each of the areas of the world now, we build out local service shops for faster cycle time delivery for customers. That allows you to win. Now, let's talk about Service 2.0 and what that means for our world. To make Service 2.0 easier, how do you get the next level of entitlement? It's all about understanding customer profitability. We make money by making our customers more money. That's how services work. So in the gas world, what's the number one criteria for making utilities money? They need output and efficiency, so they get on the dispatch curve. And by the way, things are changing now on the dispatch curve. So what we do with the U.S. utility is we go to them with new technologies based on material properties for advanced gas pass. You can upgrade the gas pass. So they get, in this case, one more point of efficiency, 10 more megawatts, and better cycling so that they can operate those units on the dispatch curve. That is $2 billion of customer value and $500 million opportunity for us, all enabled by better material understanding now, as well as software. By the way, most of our gas turbines today operate better than the day they left the factory, because over time, we've done a lot of things to boost entitlement. On the wind world, we have over 20,000 units in the field, opportunities here for materials. About 20% of them are on low wind sites. You pull the rotor down, you make it bigger, put it back up, 20% more wind capture on the same site. That's worth a lot of money to customers, $260 million upgrade potential if we just did the low wind site. And on software side, you have a bunch of our fleet is 1.5 megawatts a piece. You can have software changes with minimum control changes. And by the way, these become 1.6 megawatt units, already spec'd, already cited. That's big money, and for us, that can be $110 million. So growth through a better understanding of materials and analytics. Distributed energy. We talked about 1.4 billion people in the world that don't have power. This is also about power to compressors, pumps, drill rigs, basically things off-grid. Most of the customer base here is non-utility customer power. Big opportunities, efficiency, temporary power. We have a $5 billion business here generating strong double-digit margins. This is just a question of scaling it. By the way, Waukesha was our acquisition last year as part of Dresser. It's performing above pro forma and at record operating profit levels. If you go to the right, what are some of the big kind of themes here? You can do cogeneration. That's not only producing the electricity, but in this case, the heat required to run the hospital. And by the way, it's more cost-effective power in the UK than buying from the grid. Emergency power. This is where their outage is. By the way, our trailer-mounted units were the first 300 megawatts into Japan after the Fukushima and the nuclear plants came down. You can put these very quickly in sight, turn them on, and run. And then the last of which is big combined heating and power opportunity in China. That we formed a joint venture with one of our biggest customers, Hoidian. That'll be, you know, we've already done $110 million, but that'll be big going forward. So this is about capturing this space, which is really largely off-grid. Industrial water reuse. A lot of questions about water over the times. Where are we focused? We are focused on tough-to-treat waters, and as water reuse becomes more of a megatrend in the world. You go to places like Singapore, it's 90% water reuse today. U.S., 6%. A lot of you saw the Wall Street Journal last week. 50% of the water usage in the U.S. has always been power generation, once through cooling. But by the way, as there are water shortages, by the way, the power generators get knocked off in terms of water usage. This is going to be a bigger phenomenon. Our technology focus is on efficiency. Our advanced membranes, which came from the Xenon acquisition, it continues to be the best in its space. We have things like mobile evaporators that help treat the water, both pre- and post-treatment, for shale gas drilling. So those are the technologies. Winds, we're winning all over the world in these tough projects. This is Australia for coal seam shale gas. This is heavy oils in places like, heavy oils is up in Canada, Alberta. You see $150 million, and refining is in Russia. These are tough, treatable waters and processes, but that's what we're focused on. Our water business is profitable, and we're scaling in this targeted area: water reuse, industrial wastewater treatment. So what does it all mean? Our fundamental mission, we got to drive margins. We today, 20% operating margin. This year, 2012, we see a little pressure as we have a lot of wind going out the door. It's lower margin wind units, but we still able to drive total margin dollars. 2013, the issue will be we'll have less wind low margin units in the portfolio for 2013, so we should be able to be, you know, at an ongoing 20% level. What are the things we're driving? Same as the other folks. Lower cost structure, delayering. We just took out, we're in the process of taking out $200 million worth of cost across the energy structure. SG&A down 1 point alone in the last year in our business. Product costs, we drive $300 million of product costs out of our business every year through our engineering teams. And by the way, multimodal facilities. We opened our Vietnam facility, which we call ultra-low cost, 2.5 years ago. It covers multiple product lines, and it's been a great return on investment. Value gap I touched on, but prices, we still say, stabilize in thermal and wind. The orders-based price index in thermal, we still see flat for this year, which we've been telling you. And then driving deflation. We buy over $14 billion a year, and we drive deflation into it. And the last of which is service margins, which is pretty straightforward. High return business, return on total capital is above the GE average, which helps the total company as we grow, and we'll be expanding margins in 2013. So where I'll end is the power and water outlook. Listen, we'll be up this year, as we've been talking about. Next year, we'll be pressured from wind, as we talked about, as well as thermal. That's already in backlog from the pricing we've seen over the last couple of years. But ex wind, we will be up. You see some of the growth in services, distributed power, and other. And I'd say, come back to where I started. We feel very good about our competitive position, and it's getting stronger. We know how to navigate the cycles. We've shown that. And this is a high-return business that's going to continue to return through the cycles and a nice place for GE to be. With that, I turn it over to Joe.
Great, Steve. Yep.